Gotta say hello to Richard Collins, who's at his home in Malahide. Richard, I believe you were very disappointed that your sand martins didn't turn up again this year. Well, at least not yet.
No, they've let me down this year. I'm disappointed in them. They're lovely little birds and very gregarious. They do everything together, you know. They cheer you up, they do. They migrate together, and I believe that in Africa, although I didn't see them when I was in Africa, they stay together in that group throughout their social life.
Oh, I see. Can you describe what they look like for the benefit of the listener?
Yes, they are sandy brown in colour on top, and they're small, very small, about 13 grams, which is about the weight of a robin, and they have no long streamers like the swallow, no white bottom, no white rump like the house martin. They are brown above, paler underneath, very chattery and noisy in a group, and they fly around eating flies, midges and things like that. They are very active little creatures. Nest in burrows,
in sand banks.
In sand banks.
Which is why they're called sand martins, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't it? Communally,
sand
yeah.
Martin.
Now,
yes.
Well, I've got a little surprise for you, Richard, which because an artificial sand bank has been created at Harper's Island Nature Reserve in County Cork, not far from the city of Cork and Cove. It's kind of in between near Glowntaun. Anyway, Jim Wilson is there with Alan Farrell. He can tell us all about it. Hello, Jim. How are you?
Good evening, Derek. And good evening, Richard.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Alan.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
Well, we're down here at Harper's Island Wetlands Nature Reserve in the heart of Cork Harbour. And it's a beautiful evening. Dry, thankfully. And we're just outside the Borodyke Hide, which is the first hide on the 2 kilometre nature trail here on the reserve. And I've come here to talk with very good friend of the programme, Alan Farrell, who is a steering group member of the management team for Harper's Island Wetlands, avid birdwatcher, and he does a lot of volunteering here on site. And Richard in particular, very sorry to hear your sand martins didn't turn up this year.
I'm sure I'll get over it, Jim. I'm sure I will.
It may be because they found better accommodation in the real capital of Ireland down here in Cork.
Oh,
because
yeah.
We have here a magnificent nature reserve, wetlands in particular, but we have a 2 kilometre nature trail, we have meadow habitat, hedgerows. It's just a great place to visit, to get away from everything and just be with nature. But this evening we're here particularly to talk about the sand martins.
Sand martins, yes. And your sand bank and your cameras that are therein.
Absolutely, Derek. It's been a great success. And thanks to you for allowing us to actually highlight it to the public, because we're so excited.
Now, first things first, Jim, what is a sand bank?
This is artificial. A natural sand bank is literally like a sand cliff. It could be 10 feet high. It could be 110 feet high. And basically, the sand martins, when they come here from wintering south of the Sahara in Africa, they turn up here, and that's what they're looking for, because these little birds are amazing. What they do is they burrow into the sand, mm-hmm. and they excavate a tunnel that can be up to a meter deep in the sand bank. And what we've done here is we've mimicked a natural sand bank, and in that we have put artificial nesting burrows.
Well, I have some experience in this game, Jim, because in 2006 I helped create a kingfisher bank at the 12th hole in Drew's Glen, of all places. We actually made a television programme about it. Now, if we can find it, we'll put a link to it on the website, because RT haven't kept everything over the years, but it was really terrific. We called it Nest Watch 2006, and we looked at a whole variety of nests, but one was right inside that kingfisher bank. Anyway, who's going to do what, Jim? You're going to talk about the cameras, Alan's going to talk about the birds. What way have you got it all divided between you?
I'll talk about the cameras, and Alan is more the guy who actually built and helped to build the actual nesting bank. So what we've got here are sand martins. They're like the swallows. They spend the winter south of the Sahara. They're very small. They fly up to Ireland and other parts of Northern Europe. And as the name suggests, they like sand, and they usually like sand cliffs, be they short, small ones over a river, or now, of course, with gravel pits where we're extracting sand and gravel, they've taken to using those as well. And when they get here in March, early April, they they'll find a suitable cliff with suitable sand. That it can't be too stony, it can't be too hard to dig out. But they actually dig out a burrow and they can go back almost a metre, if not a little bit more sometimes. And at the end of that, they will build a nest and they will raise their young. And if they're successful, they may even raise a second family. And they're not like the swallow. They don't have the long tail streamers. The tail is like a little narrow fork. And they have a kind of a sandy brown breastband. And they're kind of chocolate brown above and white below, apart from the breastband. So that's what they kind of look like. And they behave just like swallows. They're aerial feeders. It's insects they want. They fly around and hoover them up with their mouths wide open. And then they bring them back to the young. And myself and Thomas Wallenda and Jim Summers, who's the other person, we got all the technical things set up and we managed to go live with a live stream from two of the burrows, actually. But at the moment, we've just got one up live and they've got four chicks and they're 5 days old. And it's just incredible to be able to log on live and see how they're getting on. And unlike a blue tit's nest, not too many people have live streamed the sand martins. And so we're learning an awful lot about them by watching them. I'm like a babysitter. And I know Sharon Casey from Cork County Council, the ecologist there. I don't think there's been a child in the house washed for the last few weeks because she seems to be watching them all the time. And I'm also watching them. So we're learning a lot from it. We want to use it as an educational tool.
Yes.
This is our first year. We have a few things we'd like to tweak maybe for next year, but we're really thrilled. But we couldn't have done this without building these artificial nesting banks. In other words, we had to build what will look like to a sand martin a sand bank with nice holes in it. And this is where Alan comes in. He has many hats on him. Not only does he track colouringed whimbrel, but he also is heavily involved in the design and the setup of these boxes. And I think Alan would be best placed to just to tell us about the technical details and what we did to get this far.
Yeah, well, essentially, Jim, what we tried to do was mimic what the birds would use in the wild. And unfortunately, here on Harper's Island, we don't have any ideal habitat for sand martin nesting. As you correctly say, what they need is a vertical bank of suitable sand. Can't be too loose, can't be too heavy, so they can't dig into it. So what we tried to do was mimic that, and we came up with the idea of creating this artificial wall as such. Now, we're not the first to do it, but this version of it, I think, well, I haven't seen it before personally anyway. So essentially what it is it's a barner shed. If you think of your timber garden shed, take one wall of that. We built this from sheets of plywood and timber structure inside in it, obviously. And then what we used, would you believe, was sewer pipe. So what we used was lengths of 4-inch waven pipe. We suspended that inside the structure. And at the end of it, we blanked off the end of the pipes and filled them up with sand.
Yeah.
So as you correctly say, the pipes are about a metre and a bit long. And the hope was that the sand martins would come and you know, make use of this artificial nest. But we don't have sand martins, as I said, in Harper's. We do have them a couple of kilometres east of here in an old quarry works. But the problem there is that the old quarry works, the banks are starting to disintegrate over the years. So we felt there was an opportunity maybe to try and encourage these birds up towards us here.
And it's worked by the sounds
of things. It has worked, Eric. It has worked. Yeah. It was a phenomenal success. We actually built the structure over the winter of 22, expecting the sand martins back. Typically, as most birders will know, I'll always look out for my first sand martin from Patrick's Day on. Usually, you might get one on Patrick's Day, but usually that soon after Patrick's Day, you'll start to see your first sand martins arriving. And they arrive in great numbers towards the end of March. And lo and behold, they arrived here right on cue around Patrick's Day. As I say, we built the structure in over the winter of 22. And come the spring of 23, our first sand martin started to arrive here on over the wetlands. And to our astonishment, they took to it like a duck to water.
You put these holes and you put this waven piping, let's call it that, into these sand bank. What kind of sand did you use? How many pipes did you put in? And did you, what's the term? Did you put, is it linear? Is it like a sandwich one on top of the other? Is it a cross? Is it horizontal? Is it staggered? What way did you put them in? And how did you know which one they were going to go into? Or do you have a heap of cameras that you could stick at the end of each one? Because I've been here before. I've done this with a Kingfisher bank.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we've all tried different things over the years that weren't successful. But what we did basically was, so the front of the structure is two sheets of plywood, so it's 8 foot by 8 foot square in front of it. And what we did in that case then was we drilled 24 holes, Derek, in three rows of eight.
Okay.
Across the structure. And what we did then was we used a wire mesh on the front of the structure and basically rendered it with what we typically we call plaster, but to a very, very rough finish. Again, trying to mimic the natural situation that the St. Martins would find. How many of them were used? All of them, would
wow,
you believe?
That's fantastic. Now, how far did you know? How did you know how far back to go? How deep are those pipes?
Well, we did a bit of homework on the natural nests.
Right, when the birds had left.
Exactly. No, sorry, the natural nest that would occur in the wild as such.
And when the birds had left, did you put a measuring tape in?
Yeah. Indeed, yeah. That's exactly what we did. Okay. We went to the local quarry. No, we measured it. We measured the depths of the tunnels, and on average, they were around a metre length.
That's
we said, that'll do
yeah.
us. That'll do us. So we built the structure over a metre deep, and we stuck in the valving pipes, filled in with builder sand, would you believe?
Good car.
St. Martins don't appear to be that fussy about sand, but we filled it with builder sand, capped the end of it.
At the back end of it.
Yeah. What was essential, we thought, was to slope the pipe slightly upwards, mm-hmm. so as the bird is entering,
drainage
he's going
as well.
Exactly, exactly, Derek. Yeah. What we didn't want was the nests filling up with water, and the chicks, you know, could perish with chilled factor in a heavy shower of rain. So these pipes are basically sloped ever so gently uphill as the bird enters. And what Jim mentioned, the camera systems and all that, which was another fabulous addition to the whole thing. But one thing that I was amazed to see when the cameras went live was that these birds usually back into the tunnel.
They
have a very good reverse gear. They actually backed into the tunnel.
Yeah, but now I'm just thinking of what it might be like in the quarry. So it would be a little bit rough. The surface inside mm-hmm. wouldn't be so smooth and it wouldn't be perfectly circular. What did you do? Did you rough up the pipes when you put them in so they'd get a little bit of grip if they were walking up and down and bringing something in? Did you have a little room at the end of the pipe, or is the end of the pipe the end of the pipe, so they're nesting in this tunnel?
Yes, spot on. What we did was the pipes are basically blanked at the end. We didn't have a chamber as such.
Chamber.
Exactly. No, we didn't have a nesting chamber as such originally. So what we did, we said we'll try it. It worked. when we got back to the nest box, when the St. Martins had left in the autumn and had all returned to their wintering grounds in Africa, we removed the back of the structure.
Yeah.
And we could access each pipe in turn. So then we made a note and took several photographs, which I said, Jim, you have some photographs.
Yeah,
they're online. So we made a note of what typically the birds were doing. And what we discovered was that originally the pipes were 100% full of sand, but as the St. Martins entered, they excavated what they didn't need, leaving a layer about 2 inches deep. So basically the pipe was half filled with sand, right back to the back where the stopper was. And that's where they built their nest, typically.
That's interesting. So they still had to excavate that hole, even though you had the pipes
absolutely.
In place. Why did it go there? I mean, why didn't it just continue on to where it would normally go? What's so attractive about Harper's Island that they decided, that looks okay down there, we'll stay here?
Derek, yeah, these birds can actually desert a site and move on. They don't stay in the same site necessarily all the time. And of course, you also have a percentage of birds who's their first time breeding. And when they're coming up, they're looking for suitable places and they want them over water as well.
Under
the nesting bank.
Exactly. Yeah.
And not all of the quarries would have that. But of course, once they arrive at Harper's, they see these deluxe apartments.
Absolutely.
With a view of the wetlands where all the food is and with water right up to the edge of the bank.
Listen,
let
me bring Richard in at this point, because Richard was saying earlier before we went to you that his St. Martins hadn't turned up. He was terribly disappointed. But at any rate, Richard.
Yes, Jim, Alan and Derek. Now, yes, I was worried. I was worried for a number of reasons, because there are records that San Martins arriving early, exhausted, no fats on board, go into their burrows of the previous year and die of hypothermia because they need to feed up. And I'm worried lest my San Martins is about 40 nests 100 metres from my door. Normally, wow, there are none there this year. So I had this haunting fear. Are there a few dead birds inside in those burrows? I didn't try to check that out. But they haven't turned up this year. Now, I'm old enough to remember the great San Martin survey of the 1960s. It went on for about 8 years, I think it went on for. And the ringers caught 400,000 plus sand martins, an enormous effort. And they found all kinds of strange and bizarre things. For instance, I remember saying that about 12 birds were reported by fly fishermen. Now, you're fly fishing there, casting out, and the sand martins are flying around as they love to do over water. And the odd sand martin would swoop down and grab fly from the water's edge, and it would be hauled in by the fishermen. And presumably the hook removed and the sand martin released. Now, there were one or two other strange ones once hit by golf balls, because they also feed over that kind of habitat, golf courses. Wherever there are flies and pools, and there are often pools and golf courses. But that was a rather strange thing. But remember, San Martins are prone to crashes, huge population crashes. And they can be decimated. There was a very bad crash, 68, 69. The numbers declined enormously. And again in, I think, 83, 84, there was another huge crash. So this is a bird, a lovely little bird, and I would worry about it. These crashes were due to the extension of the Sahel. That's the desert area, developing desert area south of the Sahara. This is extending. The San Martins had further to come. Fewer flies to eat on the way. That may be the extent. They're very extraordinary little birds.
Yeah, we've noticed even already from the nest cams that, for example, these downpours we're getting, this increase in very heavy rainfall, the birds just don't go out in it because it's almost impossible to hunt insects when the rain is that heavy. And in fact, when is it Hurricane, was it Catherine, I think the name was? Bacalan. We had the resident pair in the first burrow. And as the night came on, they had a few visitors, and they ended up with five San Martins in the back of one of the burrows. And the couple that were in there already put the run on them fairly quickly. But the poor things were trying to shelter from this weather. So as well as the desert expanding and resulting in them having to make longer demanding journeys, when they're getting here, The weather is changing and not for the better for them. So it will be interesting to see how they get on. So far, as I said, it's quite interesting, Richard, you mentioned about the numbers not coming back to you. I had another friend of ours who has a nest bank, I think it's in Kildare, and he's had the same problem. So we think the numbers are actually down a bit this year. But we've got the birds here. The first ones came right at the 1st of April. They started looking in the burrow, the first burrow, burrow number 19. And they now have the four chicks, which are 5 days old. In the other burrow where we had the camera, 21, there have been visits on and off, but none of them kind of hung about until the last week or so. And now there's a pair, and they have just laid their second egg. So an incredible difference in timing between burrow 19, which has four chicks, 5 days old, and they grow while you're looking at them. They're on unbelievable growth rate. And then in the other one, they've laid their second egg. So we're going to have a long season of this. And I know, Derek, you were asking about the chamber and that,
yep,
how we knew which burrow were they going to nest in so that the cameras would work. Well, you see, we put the chambers in the previous year.
Ah, I see.
So we basically modified the box, Derek, for this year. So we randomly chose two burrows that we... You see, as I said, we opened the back of the box when during the off-season when the San Martins were gone, inspected every nest, and then decided which just randomly chose two tunnels where we constructed a chamber this time. So this chamber was basically...
ready.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
So no interference with the birds at all?
Absolutely none.
Nothing. That's absolutely fantastic. None. It is terrific, and it's terrific to look at. Jim, I might just say, for the benefit of the listeners again, they can go on to rte.ie/Mooney and it'll click directly to your link where you have Brilliant. The live stream. It is in black and white. You might just explain to people there's no light in there because of how deep
it's,
in it is.
It's not that, thanks to Cork County Council, who have funded the project as they have the major part of the reserve in general. They've been hugely supportive, as I've said before, an incredible example of the cooperation between the local authorities, volunteer organisations, and of course the Glaunthong community have been amazing, and in particular the Men's Shed, who were heavily involved in the construction of these as well. They gave Birdwatch Ireland's Cork branch a good helping hand there. But black and white because they're at the end of a metre-long tunnel. There's not much light back there. Mm. And so you don't get colour. And if you try to use colour that far back, you can't be shining great big spotlights in there. The poor birds wouldn't be able to breed. So it's very, very low light. And therefore, it's just like security cameras at night. Black and white is the best.
Infrared,
The very best thing to use. Yeah. And by the way, if you're in the Cork area, you know, as well as logging on, and we hope schools might log in now, because we'll be switching to the other borough, or we'll try and get both of them up together. So there's going to be activity in those boroughs available to watch online 24/7, at least into June, possibly the end of June, with the way they're going at the moment.
And even, as we found out, Jim, when we did our inspection of the boroughs, some birds built a second nest.
That's right.
In the same tunnel, would you believe, Derek? One nest above the other in the same tunnel. We assumed they were going to use... No, we did know there was
How
a second...
How could they build a second nest one above the other in the same tunnel? I mean, what's the diameter of the pipes you put in?
I say one above the other, I should have said one in front of the other.
Bird has to get past a whole family of other birds to get to its family? It's nest.
No, we're assuming it was the same pair, you see. So what happened was...
Excuse me. Excuse my ignorance.
Not at all. So they basically reared and fledged the first clutch.
Right.
Took a short break, no doubt, and then came back in and constructed a second nest in front
of the...
Well,
you know
nest.
What's going to tell you that, Alan, is colour ringing next time you do it.
Well, we have our resident bird ringer on site here, Barry O'Mahony from UCC.
Yeah, and I know Barry has... Yeah.
Barry has ringed some of the adult birds, under licence, of course. Barry is a highly qualified and licensed bird ringer. And what he does is, at first light, he sets his nests across the front of the burrow, where when the adults exit at dawn, he basically catches them and rings them. And would you believe, one of his recoveries last year was a bird that had been ringed the previous year in a sandbank in West Cork. So whatever it was about Harper's Island... It's obviously way more attractive than the sandbank it was already nesting in the previous year in West Cork.
Well, listen, it's great news and it's a terrific learning tool. There's no doubt about it. Well done to Cork County Council and to the Men's Shed and everybody involved there, and Jim and Alan for this. Because I can tell you, having done it many years ago, Richard, you'll remember, at Druids Glen, we put the Kingfisher Bank in. It was no easy task.
Yes, indeed. It was a great experiment, that was, putting in the Kingfisher Bank. And their ways were mysterious to us. Their ways are not our ways. I was thinking about Alan's second nest.
Yep.
A possible explanation of that is to evade parasites. If you're going to go back to the old nests, hirundines are notorious for having lice among them, feather lice and that sort of thing. And if you're in a nest, the chicks are going to have loads of lice and the nest is going to be infested with them. So if you're going to have another brood, it's a wise measure to put the nest a little bit away and evade these lice and reduce their chances of infecting your next brood. So, and perhaps the poor little sand martins couldn't get another independent pipe, so the best they could do was build a second nest in their own pipe. But what I like about your experiment is... The hirundines are a civilizing...
Richard, will you explain the hirundine? They're the family bird belongs.
The hirundines are... That's a fancy word for swallow-like birds, you see. The interesting thing about them is that all three that we have abandoned living in the natural world. They have become city dwellers, in a sense. For instance, the swallow goes right into the barns. The house martin goes in under your eaves. And our sand martin likes to go to the sand pits that we have excavated. So here are birds that are cashing in on us, that are seeing the value of the kind of changes we make in the environment. So it's a great development, a very prosperous development. Same is true of the swift, who's not a relative, but has a similar lifestyle. So these are interesting thoughts, I must say, when inspired by your bank, and I hope your bank does extremely well.
Thank you, Richard.
Jim and Alan, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Derek.
And you can see all the activity from inside the nest by visiting our website, rte.ie/Mooney. But as I said, these things can be very temperamental, so bear with us if you would, please. But it's fascinating stuff. And once again, congratulations to everybody involved. I can tell you, it's very hard to do it. I've done it. It's not easy. But when it works, and it's terrific. And it's a great way to learn and appreciate nature, the nature we don't normally see. We see the birds flying around, but we don't often get a chance to see what's going on behind the scenes, so to speak. And that's what the guys have managed to do by putting the cameras inside the sand martin tunnels.